Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and joining me from the Steel City Underground bunker, it appears, one, Mr. Brian E. Roach, who is displaced as of right now. So put up with him looking kind of like a like an apparition or a ghost or whatever. We're actually going to permit this tomfoolery this time. Yeah, we don't need to see the whole hotel room, but happy travels, man. You got to see the game, and I'm sure you're feeling pretty good about it right now, too.
Yeah, I'm well, as you I know already saw, whatever his name, the old guy that was a punter for the
Pat McAfee
tweeted that our defense is full of dudes.
Yes.
And for the first time this season, I am quite happy to say our defense is full of grown ass men. That's
yes.
Right. Grown ass men, a bunch of them. Cam Hayward is a grown ass man. T.J. Watt is a grown-ass man. So many people are grown-ass men. Grown-ass men.
Absolutely. I think the first thing I got to do is get some roasting out of the way. Andrew Hawkins, Rachel Bonetta, Cynthia Freyland and her analytical whatever, what's it, Greg Rosenthal. Oh, I don't know who else. Rich Eisen, Steve Mariucci, Kurt Warner, Michael Irvin, the fan votes. I'm not done yet, by the way. Hold on. I got more, and this is actually the most disappointing ones. Brian Batko, Jerry Dulac, Ray Fittipaldo, Gene Collier, Ron Cook, Paul Zeiss, Joe Starkey, Adam Bittner. Every single one of these folks picked the Buffalo Bills to win this game. Brian, I had no doubts at all at any moment, at any time, that the Steelers were going to hand the Bills a loss. That's not true, but
that's a lie. That is absolutely a lie.
Yeah.
What you can say is you thought there was a chance and better than a good one.
You Dumb and Dumber fan by any chance?
That movie was all right.
But it's stupid. That's right. But it's stupid. It hasn't aged very well. Neither of these takes. No. But you're saying there's a chance, like one in a million or whatever.
That's right.
The
you're
quote
saying
from the
there's
movie.
A chance. Yes.
Yeah. So we're not going to talk about the rest of the AFC North and bore you, because the truth is we're coming at you pretty much instantaneously, and there are still games to be played. So we may come back later in the week, because you got the Monday night for the Baltimore Ravens. So we don't want to hold off on sharing the good word here about the Steelers' victory, 23-16, ripping off, what, 20 points unanswered? I mean, I understand there's a special teams play in there, so the game starts with a terrible special teams play.
Yeah.
And pretty much puts an exclamation point on the comeback with a great special teams play. Kind of a microcosm of what we were saying what might happen was sloppy football. And that first return in the game was just blah, just horrible. I'm trying to pull up exactly how big of a return was that. Let me see here.
It was very far.
75 yards.
Very far.
75 yards. Isaiah McKenzie. Steelers defense holds immediately. Three
yep.
downs. Let me go through some players. I'm not going to go through every single thing that's gone on in this game, because there was some good and bad, and I think the individual performances kind of outweigh some stuff. So, Brian, a yay or nay? Let's start defensively. The guy we're wearing, I wore the right jersey today, man. I'll tell you, this isn't coincidence. I just didn't put it on for the pod. I wore this, and usually I have like a habit of good luck. I got to wear the color, the superstition, got to wear the color that the team has on the field. T.J. Watt, grown ass man.
Yeah, awesome strip sack, awesome, just constant pressure, tackles for loss. A guy didn't practice the whole preseason, just comes in and immediately says, by the way, the last 2 years when I should have won Defensive Player of the Year, let me make a statement right now out of the gates. You better start thinking about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, Chandler Jones had a heck of a game over in Arizona with like 5 sacks and
oh, geez, gosh.
I think like 2 forced fumbles or something like insane. Yeah, he was going off there too. So we'll see. He's been in that mix before too with TJ down to the wire. But yes, when we were sitting here last just a few days ago previewing this game, we didn't even have a contract yet. a signed contract, and we were all telling everybody to relax, chill out, and lo and behold, oh man, TJ won't be ready. Man, come on. You know, everybody's like, oh, you know what? This is my favorite part. It's like when I go in, especially on the Apple Podcast reviews, these guys don't know what the heck they're talking about. Little validation here. Let me get a little more validation. Let's put a rubber stamp on Alex Highsmith, who was getting in there too. I think he got his hand on a pass. He may not have shown up officially. I don't know that he had a sack officially in this game, but man, was he was also very disruptive. Oh, let's see.
Let's just keep it in the same frame. Melvin Ingram.
Oh my goodness, man. What Melvin a pickup.
Ingram. Oh my goodness gracious. The man was
possessed.
He was a possessed grown ass man.
Let me tell you, I didn't expect him to play as much. We don't have the snap counts just yet. They usually don't have those until Monday morning. It's all tallied out. So Melvin Ingram, what a heck of a pickup. And he played more than I actually thought he would. It really looks like they're going to try. It's going to be TJ and Highsmith or some combination with Ingram playing either side to give one of those guys a break on the sidelines. By the way, TJ with 2 sacks in this game. Yep. 5 quarterback hits.
Nice.
My goodness gracious. Yeah, the outside linebackers, that's all good. Tyson Alualu, we didn't see a whole lot. I'll jump off the page. But him, Chris Wormley.
Cam Hayward.
Cam, the grown-ass man,
the
Hayward.
O-G-G-A-M.
Man, this is going to sound like a love affair because it was a tale of two halves. But the defense was still very stout for much of that and held Buffalo those 10 points when it could have been much worse, even given that first opening game return right off the kickoff. So I'm just saying, this team doesn't even have Stephon Tuitt back yet. And that's a guy who had double-digit sacks last year. A lot of optimism against this Buffalo offense that all of these names that we were talking about, Josh Allen, new deal, $40 million a year or whatever. And there were people crying about Ben Roethlisberger at halftime. And I'm like, what did Josh Allen really do? He didn't look so sharp with all of these receivers and a non-existent run game with Buffalo as well through that point. But you got to give the credit where it's due. Ian Eagle and whoever else was doing this game with them in the broadcast booth did not do that. They didn't even know who some of these guys were. They called Alex Highsmith, Melvin Ingram at one point. Joe Schobert wearing 93. That's going to take some adjusting. And some games.
Yeah, that was confusing the crap out of me, to be honest with you.
But he's out there a lot. They weren't running a lot of three defensive linemen there. It was that hybrid 4-man front nickel package we were talking about. You got the other guy with them, Devin Bush. Those guys weren't leaving the field a whole lot. I think Bush may have played a few more snaps than Schobert, but there wasn't a whole lot of that. Joe Hayden, I'm going to wait to come back around to this. Terrell Edmonds, very nice game too. Looks very complimentary with Minka Fitzpatrick, who was just a ticking time bomb waiting to create a turnover in this game that didn't turn out. The surprise of the game, Trey Norwood. This in the back pocket. Yet another rookie playing in this game. He's actually starting. He's right here on the list. He technically started in this game. And then the man I feel most validated about, the one that I was getting a little bit of cold feet because they're moving him around so much. They don't know what they're doing with the corners. Akella Witherspoon they traded for, who was inactive in this game. Cameron Sutton, another Cam that's a grown-ass man. What a great game. I understand the one touchdown, but Josh Allen puts that in a place. We're only Gabriel Davis. And Gabriel Davis, like I said, he was a guy I was concerned with going into this. That's pro football, man. What else can you do? And that's one of the few places where the announcers actually gave some credit. So Cam Sutton, all these guys get like double thumbs up and everything else for me and several grown-ass men awards here, but Cam Sutton is mine and I got to double back and get a 20 jersey for sure.
You got to give credit pretty much across the board to the defense. I mean, Pierre comes in and makes plays.
Correct.
Sutton makes plays. Norwood's making plays. Joe Hayden's making plays. I mean, there's no place to look and go, wow. And this is, again, you know, the biggest challenge they had and what did sometimes get them was, you know, what's-his-face, Josh Allen breaking out of the pocket, breaking. I mean, was it Highsmith that absolutely should have had him early in the first quarter? Should have been a sack. Somehow he gets away and it's like a 23-yard run or some ridiculous thing. That was the one thing that we said if they can – but they had a little trouble with it in the first half and didn't seem to be a problem in the second half. You know what I mean? They figured out how to – what's his name? Charles Davis? Is it Charles Davis that's with Iron Eagle? I don't remember.
That might have been. I could tell you for sure here in a short second.
I don't really care.
I know. But, I don't either. But just for the sake of calling out the right guy, yes.
You know, he said that what they had was a very well-organized rush with the outside rushers funneling Josh Allen back into the inside, which is when Cam Hayward, got him, right? It became a thing of beauty, and it was just consistent. They didn't always have pressure on him, but they had a lot of pressure on him and at a lot of different times. And he was constantly under duress when he had to throw. It was nice. It was a really nice game for the defense. If we're doing that ridiculous thing where you grade them and give them a schoolyard grade, they got an A. Might have gotten an A+. What the hell? That team hadn't lost in six. Sometime last year against Arizona is the last time they lost a game.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the regular season.
Oh, yeah.
Forget like the playoffs. In the regular seasons. But, you know, this is a team that high-powered offense. They do a lot of scoring. They're a good team. People were afraid of them. They beat us last year. And we go up there and win. Hey.
Yeah.
Wait, it's nice.
It's nice to have the full complement of healthy players, too, to play a team like that. And that was what was missing, was a lot of what you saw. Trey Norwood, man, really surprised not only at the time he logged, but he did well. And early on, they tried to test him, and they went away from that. I mean, it was like he was all over it, like a fly, like on you know what. We didn't have a whole lot to say about Joe Hayden. He really only got tested like once or twice. Let me see. The final tally here on – oh, Stephon Diggs, 9 for 69. Okay, that's a nice number. But nice. 14 targets. Beasley, 13 targets, 8 for 60. Josh Allen overall is 30 of 51. Not so nice. Just the one touchdown, a 79.7 QB rating. He took 3 sacks in this game. Probably should have taken more. The Buffalo offensive line was holding like you.
Oh
know.
My goodness.
Oh my goodness. It was just,
should have been called on every play.
And we say that all the time. And it didn't, for the most part, there was like maybe one, I think, and it might have been with Cam that went uncalled. There was another one, a waist lock around TJ. He was basically triple teamed on the one play. Yeah. And I wish some of those would come back. I would like to see a little more on third downs. But the offense wasn't getting a whole lot going. And we're going to go over and go through some of these guys as well. Let's start with Ben Roethlisberger. I didn't have a problem. I actually didn't have much of a problem with the offense in the first half, as some people were like, this is what the new offense is going to look like. I'm like, eh, give it some time. We've got a lot of new faces, a lot of moving parts here, and I wasn't necessarily dismayed or overwhelmed in either direction with the offensive line, but there were good things, and there are things to certainly build upon. Now, if it looks the same way in like week 10, then my story is going to be a little bit different. But for week one, and having to move Dan Moore into this lineup and shift Chooks over now too, so you don't even have all those camp snaps and preseason games to log all that time. Trey Turner didn't play a whole lot there. But it looked a lot fresher when they came out from halftime, and it looked better. So Dan Moore, the one where Ben gets the ball hit from behind, he's just got to keep going because he had that complete – he had him washed out. Pretty much washed out of the play and let him come back in from behind Ben. And that's Ben holding the ball a little bit too. Not sure what's going on down the field. So I thought Dan Moore had a pretty solid game for being a first-time player, fourth-round pick. I didn't have much to say about Dotson. Kendrick Green came out for a short minute. I don't know if that was because he got in the tussle. I forgot who he got in a fight with on the field. But J.C. Hasenauer came in for a few snaps. But I thought Green, he was getting downfield. If he has that one block... He kind of misses one downfield that was on the Chase Claypool.
Then it's a touchdown, yeah.
Yeah, oh, man, it's a touchdown. But he looks like a different 53 out there when you're getting down there. So I'll say that much. I don't have much to say about Turner, Okorafor. Of course, we always knew the tackle play might be the most suspect, so we'll leave it at that. But I thought they did pretty decent. Eric Ebron and Pat Freiermuth. Ebron got put down like once on a block. He really tried to get in there and got overpowered on the one. But that it happens on that. I'm just saying, he's getting his hands dirty. Freiermuth had a pretty clutch catch somewhere in the game. The wide receivers were all pretty strong. Brian, Juju, yep. Deontay. There were some things that were off the mark here or there. And then let's not forget, James Washington comes in for a short minute, gets some playing time too. Chase Claypool, clutch in a few spots. It was just an overall team effort. I think the one thing everyone just expected was the Steelers were just going to shoot out of a cannon. Najee Harris was going to – I was hoping he was going to put on a much bigger game than what he did. 16 for 45, and I think he was in the passing game. He had three targets. He only caught one for 4 yards. But he made it count the most toward the end of the game and had that one big run that he ripped off for 18 yards. So – overall, still a rookie. He's getting involved in all of this too. There's a lot of promise here. I know it looks bad in the first half, but you got to give Buffalo some credit too. It's not like their defense is full of a bunch of chumps either.
Well, you forget Ed Oliver. Yeah. I mean, we forgot. We didn't talk about him at all.
Not much.
In the pregame, and you forget Ed Oliver is a damn fine player. This is what I'll say. We said it from the get-go, the offensive line is going to have growing pains. We know they're going to have growing pains. They haven't communicated effectively. They haven't learned each other effectively yet. They're going to have some moments. And the first half showed, you know, what those growing pains can look like. The second half was different. Adjustments got made. People got talked to. They got a little more in line. They got nastier. Adjustments were made. So give yes. credit. They grew. They are going to grow and get better every game. And that's what you need them to do. If they can stay a unit, stay healthy, my goodness gracious, there's four guys on that out of that five-man offensive line that are very young men. Three of them are really, really young.
Yeah.
and you know, so you're setting yourself up for – you know, picking up another guy if Trey Turner doesn't play for any, you know, extended years next year in the draft and having an offensive line that will be together for a decade.
Yeah, that's – I was starting to think that in the opposite direction. And they showed a graphic during the game that said something like, hey, we're used to saying the same names. And that's what I was thinking of was the same kind of thing. But you had these certain expectations because the same group of players have been playing together. Like, when did well, let's see here. Villanueva took over for Beecham 2016, 2017, somewhere in the whereabouts of there. I think it was 2017 maybe. When Beecham and he got hurt and then officially lost his job, somewhere in there. Don't quote me on it. But it was still about a four-year period where you had almost the same group of guys. I mean, Marcus Gilbert eventually got too hurt and was cycled out of there. So then you moved in Filer. You had Ramon Foster eventually retired. So some things started to move and change. But for all intents and purposes, you had Pouncey for a decade. You had DeCastro come in like right after that. And you had those two together out of the five for a very long spell. And Foster was there for a long time too, even though he was an undrafted guy. It's another thing you don't think about is, wow, not everyone has to be a first-round pick to succeed here. The Steelers' offense, though, you were hoping for a little bit better than 5 plays, 22 yards, punt. 3 plays, 5 yards, punt. And that's all they got in the first quarter. The second half, 3 punts, and then, of course, the kneel and the walk to the locker room. You had 6 plays, 25 yards, 3 for 2, and 4 plays. There was a penalty in here somewhere. 3 punts, and then you end at half. The Buffalo Bills ran 17 more plays than the Steelers did in the first half, and they had the ball for 5.5 minutes longer time of possession. And that was just – it was like, man, this has got to change. How can this change? The Steelers only have 2 possessions in the third quarter, but they make them count because the Bills only get the ball once in the third quarter, which is interesting. The Steelers hold the ball 4 minutes, 37 seconds, and 4:01, 10 and 11 plays, 10 for 64, 11 for 62. They both end in field goals. Buffalo 6 and the Buffalo 2. You would have liked to seen it punch in. I didn't see a real effort. We didn't see, like, Derek Watt. I didn't see an extra tackle. So I'm just curious, like, what their attack plan was, or they weren't feeling good about the run game at this point. And tend to think of this way, too. And I know you know this. I know a lot of our listeners know this. You're going a little more. You're not on script. Now you're off script in the second half, making adjustments and things like that. And that's what I really feel good about with Matt Canada, because if this is Randy Fichtner, I'm like, well, if the script didn't work, his improv skills were not very good calling anything on the fly.
This is what I think he used to do. He would go, this didn't work very well, so they'll be so surprised when I do the exact same things.
Let's flip it. It'd be like Madden. You hit the button and it flips the play. But yeah, and Buffalo here gets 12 plays, 40 yards in the third quarter. They lose the ball on downs. So the Steelers defense holds them twice on fourth down. Very,
nice.
Very nice plays. They get it. Four possessions here in the fourth quarter. Eight plays, 27 yards. Lose it again on downs. And I'm not going to criticize where they were taking it. Scrimmage, line of scrimmage, Steelers 35, Steelers 41. Those aren't areas you're necessarily punting. Longer field goals. There was wind, as they were alluding to. And then the blocked punt. Miles Killebrew, number 28. Ulysses Gilbert III ends up scooping that up and gets his
scooping
name.
Score. Yeah.
Immortalized. So he goes from hot seat to immortality in very short due time. Buffalo does get two field goals. Steelers defense holds them down at the 7, and then the last one was at the 24, and they were trying with the onside kick. For the most part, I'm very pleased with everything else. We say sloppy football. Tomlin had this team ready to go. Only like four penalties?
I think four or five.
Five for 32. Buffalo was penalized. 8 for 81.
And it could have been so much worse than that. I mean, that Buffalo could have been charged another 15 penalties. I mean, the Ebron pass in the end zone where the whoever's defending him literally is holding his jersey down. You could see it in every replay. It's ridiculous. There just was so many bad. You know, the offensive line was so overwhelmed by the Steelers' defensive line that they could have. I mean, I know we say you can be called for holding on every play. We just said it earlier, but they literally could have been. And it just didn't even matter. It didn't matter, which is, I'm sure, part of why they didn't call them, because even holding them, they couldn't keep them away.
Well, I didn't like necessarily that Ebron was having his shirt tailored in the end zone. There was a little bit of that. I'm not going to mention one of our side judges or whatever, one of the referees that were in on those plays. I'm like, there's no way that's going to get called. The flag had to come in from one of the other back judges. So it was those things are annoying to me, especially when they're very obvious pass interference. Who was the one? Was that Deontay? It was just like the guy never turned around.
Claypool. Well, the one they called was Claypool.
Turned
around. Yeah, it's Claypool.
Never turned around. And I'm just kind of like, come on now. Come on.
It was clearly interference.
Like, that's about textbook for that. The reviewer said, don't talk about the referees. That's all we did. We didn't have any crazy reviews or anything like that we had to go through. But still, you're going to have these hiccups there. Steelers, where can we improve, Brian? 4 for 12 on third downs, 33%. Buffalo was 8 of 18.
Deontay and Ben need to get on the same page consistently, because there was at least three or four throws that they were just not on the same page. And it wasn't actually even just Deontay. I think that there's a couple times he went to look for somebody to go in one direction. Najee, even coming out of the backfield, went one way. Ben expected him to go another. Ben has to do a better job of keeping the ball down. Those throws that do go to, you know, Najee right there aren't always I gotta leap for it. Some of that is not on Ben. Some of that, again, as I said, is I think if Najee goes the wrong way, then it looks worse than it is. But I'm like, what do I want to see? Growth. That's what I want to see.
Absolutely. Catch me drinking the cold beverage up my mug there. Let's see. Buffalo got the one fourth down conversion. They're just real short. That was kind of a hard one that anyone's going to stop. That's the old Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, let's just do it real quick type deal. The Steelers were 1 for 3 in the red zone. Buffalo 1 for 4. and goal to go. They were both 50% batting just the one out of the two tries. Buffalo racked up 371 yards and 79 offensive plays. Most of that, especially in the first half. Steelers only with 252 and 55 plays. So just to talk about the possession there, 24 more plays. And that was the only thing I was worried about with the special teams. It's like, oh, great. This puts them up in a nice, cozy area. It's not lost on me that without the special teams play, maybe this game's a little closer and ends up a different way. But hey, that's the way the ball bounces, man. And Joe Hayden punched that one out, and they're lucky that one rolled and tumbled over to the sideline, or maybe they don't even get some points there. Cam had a nice punch out, too.
Yes, he did.
No one seen. I mean, they said something about it, but Buffalo ran that play real quick. Nobody was getting any type of replay or second look at it in order to challenge it. So defense.
Doesn't a tie always go to the quarterback?
It always goes to the quarterback. It's not even a tie.
I know. It's like, okay, he knocked the ball out, which was awesome. It was a nice hustle play. Cam reaches in, strips the ball. Should definitely get counted for the you know, fumble, causing a fumble. But I don't know. I couldn't tell because at that point I'm in an Uber, right, and I'm watching it on this. And I can't tell. I'm like, I can't tell whether they ever got the ball back. But it certainly looked like Cam was fighting for it. But I guess if you're fighting for it, that means the offense keeps it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not quibbling over that too much. It is what it is, but it was still nice. I mean, you talk about that split second, his knees about 6 inches off the turf, and the ball's out, clearly out. Just more.
But
of that.
The one, I'll tell you, that one TJ, because I just want to have some outside linebacker porn here for a second. The TJ strip sack, you could see that one coming. Like you just went. Okay, I'm ready for it to happen. It's about to happen, and then it happens, and you're like, oh, man. Just pretty.
It really – it did. It felt like that. I felt that coming. You know what else I kind of had a pulse on? I had a pulse on that punt in the block punt. I just felt like they brought it on that, and I'm just – you know, anything can happen.
They really did. I mean, that there was some penetration on that punt.
Very nice, my friend. Well – I guess that's the most that we could say. 23-16 final. Steelers went up 10, and they did what they needed to do. The only thing that was driving me a little crazy, your trusted Ben throwing the ball. I was like, run the ball. Eat the clock. Force them to use their timeouts. And it wasn't Randy Fichtner. So Matt Canada did exactly that, and they burned at least the second one, and then they had to burn the third one eventually there too. So it mixed it up. And it wasn't just so darn predictable for the most part, most of the game. I still don't like when Ben waits until the last second to snap it. I still am not keen on let's empty everyone out and just show our hand ahead of time. But for the most part, all game long, it was like we're taking a player or two out of this play to show, well, we could be doing a little misdirection. We could be doing a little bit of trickery. And then, boom, they hit them with that, with the Claypool thing.
There was play action in this game.
Yes, there was.
When's the last time we saw play action from the Steelers offense? There was play action in this game. There was, you know.
Flip a coin. That's how often they were pretty much somebody was getting like a fake or a look.
You know, it was – It's definitely it's an encouraging amount of change in the offense that felt like it worked once you got to the second half. Yes, there's going to be upsides and downsides to it, and they're going to, because it is still new to all of them, there's going to be growth, and there's going to be some growing pains to be associated with that growth. But, you know, how can you not be happy? As a Steelers fan, if you're not happy right now, then, you know, you're not going to be happy if they win every game and win the Super Bowl, unless it's, what, 1,000-0 and they never, ever have an incompletion and they score on every drive and no one ever scores. I mean, what do you expect? Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to look at this like an owl, Brian. So I turn my head like this way. You're looking at it kind of upside down, and you'd have more reason to be upset if their second half was the first half and then Buffalo got real close and you eked out the victory, and then you're like, ooh, this stinks. It smells like something like last year where they, you know, they held on to these games, they were winning, but, you know, it wasn't necessarily the – no, I feel great. I feel good about this. I feel good that they're going to come home for two straight. They get the Raiders and they get the Cincinnati Bengals. So I'm very encouraged by what I saw. One more to throw out here. There were a couple names we didn't really pull out of the hat here, like Zach Gentry got in there. Okay. Yeah. He was active.
Existed in the game.
I think Witherspoon will eventually be active here. He's got to get acclimated, but I'm very happy with how they handled everything and with Trey Norwood. I have no complaints. Arthur Mollett got out there for a quick minute too.
Yes,
he did. Let me see. So did Bugsy. Isaiah Bugs was out there. But let's talk about the other rookie. We've got one more left. Good and bad. One bad play made up by TJ Watt with the strip sack a few moments later. Presley Harvin.
Yeah.
Your man. The
BFP. Yeah, the BFP did a big fat doink in that one punt. It was not good.
Let's toss that aside, though. On the other plays, I felt like, wow, all right, finally, field position flipped.
Yeah.
Like, not bad.
I'm going to give him a mulligan on this one. Your first game as a professional, and pressure's on, and you're kicking out of the end zone. All right. And it's a short field out of the end zone. They backed him up. I'll give him a mulligan on that one.
I'll give him a mulligan, too. He had one on here. What did I just see? 51-yarder? That was pretty nice. Yes, right in the first quarter. This is the one where Ben was stripped, and it was Chooks covered it up. And then he had a shank later in the second quarter. And then we didn't see him again. Like, he had a 46-yarder here, and then he kind of disappears. And you don't see him the rest of the game. So, but, again, encouraging. I like it. The young studs out there, and there's a lot of them. What we got to count? Najee Harris. We got to count Pat Freiermuth, Kendrick Green, Dan Moore, Trey Norwood, and Presley Harvin. Six rookies involved in this game. Absolutely phenomenal stuff from the Steelers. And if it keeps up like this, I'm sure teams are going to look at film. They're going to find some deficiencies here or there. Am I saying the offensive line is all getting gold jackets yet? No, I'm not going to say that. Somebody's going to say, well, on this play, this person got beat. It's certainly a lot more encouraging than any of the stuff we saw last season. And I think if they stick with it versus some of these other teams that are coming up, I don't really see the Raiders or the Bengals as much as a run-stopping team. Najee may get a little more traction there. You're right. We kind of overlooked Ed Oliver. I knew that star Ludulele wasn't going to be playing in this game, or at least had an indication he might not be playing. So we didn't really focus on that as much as I thought. But we were right about Buffalo doesn't run the ball much with their own backs.
Except for one drive. My God.
Well, that's because after they didn't do it, they caught the Steelers a little flat on their heels, and that was after the special teams touchdown. So they didn't get a break there either, and they had to cycle in some substitutes. There were some backup guys in there, and you're going to be able to take advantage of that stuff at that point. But I think that does it for us, Brian. Maybe we'll be back a little sooner in the week. We'll get to talk about some of these other games that are going on, have some fun with that, needle some of the AFC North opposition that listens to this show. Thanks for tuning in. If you're still listening to us, we mean that. You're like a 3%er, so that's pretty good. We still enjoy you. Just don't say anything in the comments section.
Right.
So, but any other final thoughts? I mean, I could dwell on some of these other things. Ben throws a ball after he's already saw the hanky out on the ground. That, why is he throwing that? And I like that Charles Davis at least said that.
Explained it.
That was the exact thought I had at that moment. I'm like, Ben saw free play the whole way. So I didn't necessarily I had no issues with Ben. There were a couple overthrown balls here or there. He's a little out of sync. The receivers maybe not run on the same page, running the same route, whatever. But
this is what I'll say about Ben. Think of the years past and the first game performances that Ben Roethlisberger has given us, especially in recent years where we have done nothing but complain because it looks crappy because it's continuation of the preseason. Ben looked really good in relative terms. For the way Ben has looked early in seasons, Ben looked really good.
I want to see him upright.
Yes.
So,
he did take more hits than I would like.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's moving into that, holding the ball a little more. There was still some quick pass element, things like that. I mean, it work in progress. I'm okay with it. Let's see how this rolls. I don't, I'm not going to say yay or nay on anything just yet, but a win is a win when everyone else didn't think they were going to. I'll take that. I feel good, and we'll see how the rest of the AFC. We'll see how the rest of the AFC North.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep singing while you talk.
That's very annoying.
I know.
Love you, man. Thank you for joining me once again, folks. That is a one Mr. Brian E. Roach from the underground of the Steel City Underground somewhere in an undisclosed location, even though he said it earlier on the programming.
Help me.
Yeah, and once again, can we put the rest, the backup quarter? Are we thinking backup quarterbacks anymore? Are we thinking about TJ's contract?
Why do I care?
It's all out of sight, out of mind now. So,
well, TJ has a contract, and all I'll say is, yes, damn nice contract, dude. TJ goes down in Steelers lore now forevermore because he basically overrode his agent and said, shut up, it's plenty, I'm taking it, done.
I actually heard that was a fake story.
Oh, really?
That didn't happen. Yeah, and supposedly
it's real now.
Yeah, it's been circulated. What is that? You circulate that story around enough, and then it becomes the truth or whatever that is.
Regardless if it's fake or not, we Steelers fans will love it, so it's real now.
Hey, he broke the bank, and he broke their money guarantee stuff. Yeah. So that's
Gates are open now.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's not like Mick is going to be making as much. Safeties aren't paid as much. Look, it's the quarterbacks and the guys who get after them. Those are the top two in this league, and that's just what ends up happening. And the Steelers will have plenty. They still will have plenty of space. We saw what Myles Garrett was just getting and some of these other guys are getting. I'm not too worried about any of that. It's too early for that. We saw why he got paid and worth every penny in my opinion. So Brian, thanks for joining me once again, and the Steelers 23-16 victory. Feeling good.
Absolutely feeling good. And here we up. The greatest thing about this game to me was the return of the hashtag on Twitter of here we go, which is always at the beginning of the year, but you know, whatever. That's not true. I didn't get to tweet very much during this game because I was watching the damn game on my phone. So
yeah, but you know what? I'm actually getting away from some of that, to be completely honest, because then I get so sidetracked or distracted. I want to be able to just immerse myself within the game. And when I'm at the game, I don't like to tweet too quickly either because people are watching it cord cutting, or I'm ahead of people. You see it with the beat writers all the time.
Yeah,
they always end up ahead of everybody and you get stuff spoiled. And so I'm not going to be doing a whole lot of that. Don't take that as, oh, don't follow this platform. I just hit retweet on everyone else's stuff. Usually Zach Adonia. So, oh my goodness. Hey, before I go, our favorite guy, Andrew Filippone.
Oh, the pony man.
He pulled up the PG's sports writers picks, the same image that I was talking about earlier, the column where they all picked Buffalo. He's now on board, by the way. I got to call this out because he was working on his calf muscles. That means, he did it over with Adam Rank, Daniel Jeremiah. They all did it. Sessler, Shook, Gordon, Grant, all of them. There's 10 of them that picked the Bills right there. But he said, oh, man, where's it at? If the Steelers can win in Buffalo, they can win anywhere. Cleveland, Baltimore, Green Bay, Kansas City, you name it. Where have you been the last, what are we in, the ninth month of the year? This guy has been the most negative Nancy. Now, all of a sudden, he's got the pom-poms and the megaphone, and he's shouting it from the mountain. Oh, man. Well, it's good to see that you at least got on board and you're working out the glutes and everything else, all the back leg muscles there. So,
yeah, it's all
good. Anyways, we'll leave it at that. My name's Joe. His name's Brian. Enjoy the win, Steelers Nation, on your upcoming Victory Monday right here. We'll be back later this week with some more coverage and also some more MyBookie incentives as well. So until next time, my name is Joe. His name is Brian, and we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.